Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about the three-step process to buying property for immediate resale. I know it seems like a Captain Obvious moment.
The whole thing's going to be Captain Obvious.
What do you mean, Steve? You want to resell the property immediately?
Who doesn't want to sell it immediately?
That's what we should talk about, because I don't understand, but people come to us all the time and say, I just bought that house for $35,000.
You want to say, I just sold that house and made $35,000.
I'm quoting my little sister, because she seems to accumulate $35,000 houses and then rent them to deadbeats, and then she wonders why. Like, what am I doing wrong?
Isn't that funny? You know what? So I was just thinking about that too. In our market, and those markets are so weird, so different where we are in Southern California. And I'm often on my phone, and you and I are both on every single person's, buyer's list. And I look at these, and I'm like, right now there's one in Tennessee. Like, it's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, and it's $28,000.
Yeah.
Like, or best offer, right?
and there's like, nothing wrong with that.
No, I just forgot. Sometimes you forget. I'm like, oh yeah, get out of your, snap back, get into the Tennessee mode. You can really buy homes that cheap.
Yeah, I mean, I just talked to a guy actually on a consulting call. That's his whole business model. In the center of the country, he buys properties for, 70 or 80,000 bucks, cleans them up, marks them up 20 grand and sells them.
Yep.
And that's what we're here to talk about, immediate resale.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Before we get into the meat of the show, let's take a question posted by one of our members on landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Paul asks, hey, LA community, I'm working on getting my first property sold, and all of the interest I have had thus far seems to be wanting to do terms. I know it's not quite as straightforward in Colorado as it is in some states, but from some searches, it seems like more members are having success there. Most of the posts, however, are older. Does anyone have any information on pitfalls to avoid when doing terms deals in Colorado? I found a website that has some helpful articles, not an advertisement. I haven't used them, and I have no connection with them. But I wanted to see if anyone else had some real-world experience to share. Thanks.
Yeah, so what Paul's talking about is selling property is diametrically the opposite of what this show's about.
Right.
He's asking about buying a piece of property for 10 grand, let's say, and selling it on terms, collecting payments for quite some time until the thing's paid off.
And you might be like $25,000 in the end,
right,
kind of thing.
And it's definitely the way to maximize a return on an asset. There's no debating that. It's a great way to make a ton of money. But you have to go through a bunch of stuff. And what he's asking here is, what's the deal with Colorado specifically selling property on terms? And Colorado is a very regulated state on this topic. So I encourage you to investigate this website that you're referring to and also find out what the rules and the laws are. Right. In Colorado specifically about selling property on terms. Jill and I don't do it in that state, I'll tell you that. And there's a darn good reason for it. Mm-hmm. It's just too regulated.
Right.
And we're on the airwaves every day, and we're, Jill and I are not a huge fan of breaking the rules.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Unless it's with each other.
Hello. Thanks, Stephen.
What do you think?
I think that's great. No, and you're right. There are a number of states that and that could be your business model, Paul. I mean, if you really want to do it and you're going to get in there and you're going to be great, I want to be the only one selling terms because you guys are all chickens and I got this down. That's fine.
Chickens.
You know what I mean? But that could be your business model. But we, for two reasons too, we become more cash people. I mean, that's a fact.
Here's a question you have to ask yourself economically. So congratulations, you sent a mailer out. You've got a piece of property, you bought it for 10 grand, it's worth a lot more. Let's say it's probably worth 40, 50, 60.
Right.
You bought it for 10, you did everything right. Would you rather take a quick 20,000 bucks and pocket the 10 grand or sell it on terms for $50,000 or $60,000 and collect $500 a month for a long time?
Right. And it depends. Some people love that, though.
And I think it's great.
Yeah. There are a lot of people that are still here with us in our community that are trying to replace their paycheck, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that sings to them. That's how they're doing it. They're getting $500 a month on this one, $200 a month on that one. And before you know it, now you got $5,000. Great. Now it's covering my mortgage and this. And, you know, that's perfect.
And if you're new, like I think it sounds like Paul is, I would heavily encourage you to try both, because it's not that you're going to seek one out, it's going to seek you out. You know, I did a ton of term sales along in the early part of my career, and it was not my thing. Mm-hmm. Because my forte is data, and sending out mail and purchasing a lot of property really cheap just has always come easy to me. Mm-hmm. And so with the help of Jill, we can buy it and sell it for cash a lot faster than we can put together term deals. Mm-hmm. So that's just what works for us.
Awesome.
Today's topic, the three-step process to buying property for immediate resale. This is the meat of the show. And I know it sounds like we're having a Captain Obvious moment
three
here.
Three steps? It sounds like there could be 30. How do you narrow it down to three? Seriously.
Here, I'll jump right into it.
Okay.
Number one, identify a market and a property type. Well, Steve.
Again.
Steve. I'm standing
obvious?
In my market, and I want to buy land that I can sell for more. Okay, well, that's why I bring this up, because you need to narrow it down a little bit more than that, or you're never going to get out of the starting blocks here.
I'm going to pick, you know, Dallas County. There we go. Is that good?
I think what ends up happening, and I'm not busting on anybody. I'm just saying what ends up happening, and I know it because it happened to me. Well, I just want to get into the real estate business and make some money. Well, if you do that, you're just going to spin your wheels forever. You want to identify a market. Let's say Dallas County. Let's use Jill's example. Probably because you are in Dallas County or close to it. And you kind of look at a map and you can say, oh, yeah, I can visualize that corner or that street corner. So you know the market a little bit. And then more importantly, pick a property type. And when I mean property type, I mean infill lots that are buildable with utilities at the lot line that are I'm going to purchase for less than $20,000. And sell them for 40 to 60 on a for a buyer that I've already identified who pays cash for these things. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Mm-hmm. Now we've identified a market and a property type, and we're going to stick with it, and we're going to get mail. We're going to get offers in the mail to these owners and follow through with a full-blown cyclical mechanical acquisition to sale.
Awesome.
Step one. So step one is identify a market and a property type. Step two, get the offers to the owners that you've identified and get the offers in the mail.
Wait, wait, wait. Not just a postcard?
No.
Can I just put a sign in the ground?
Nope.
What?
It's like,
come on. The guys walk around delivering pizza flyers anyway. I was just going to hand them my flyers and some extra money. Can I just do that?
You're welcome to do that. Jill and I just went to a live event and sat in the back just to learn. See what other people are doing out there, and this guy was saying all the things that you can dream up to contact an owner, you should do that. And we kind of just high-fived each other under the table
and said that's a lot of wasted time.
Yep.
That you could be working on.
It's going to take you a year to figure out which one works for you, and then it's probably not going to work the next 3 months after that. And
True.
You're going to have to change gears and go over. I know this because that's what happened to me.
Don't forget full-time staff to answer the phone, because you're doing that wrong.
I built the whole company, this whole land company, years and years ago. This is before the internet. On going to tax auctions, and then after a while, it just didn't work. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what's never gone out of style: sending offers to owners in the mail.
Right.
So, step two is. You need to get a data set that is assessor-based. All the switches on the radio turned off just now.
Ah.
It's really a lot easier than it sounds. Every assessor has, every county assessor has a tax roll where every person who pays property taxes is on there, and by law, they have to make it public. They don't have to make it easy for you to get by law, and they don't. They make it incredibly hard, but it does
That's
have
awesome.
To be public. Turns out, lucky for us, there's aggregators, I call them, that it's their mission in life to take all these messy data sets, all 3,144 of them, and put them in one format and make it easy for you to digest and utilize however you do it.
Yep.
And as property investors, we're a small little group for these aggregators.
Right.
their real customers are.
We're small but mighty. Insurance companies.
Insurance companies, oil companies.
Those guys.
A lot of people have a vested interest in understanding who owns real estate. So get yourself.
Mortgage company.
Jill and I are a licensed provider for the largest three companies. So they're RealQuest Pro, CoreLogic, that's the name of the company, Black Knights.
Financial
Title,
Services.
24, what is it?
Title Pro 24/7. I always tell people, most people know if you're in real estate, you've probably heard of Agent Pro 24/7. So the easiest way I describe it is Title Pro 24/7 is Agent Pro on steroids.
Yeah, it's the complete
the Mac
package.
Daddy.
Yeah. And DataTree, mm-hmm. which is First American Title's data company, which right. we're licensed providers of all three. And our members enjoy two of those because we're getting ready to release the third one a few months from now, DataTree. So you get that list, you manipulate it like we talk about it in our program, and you get an offer out to these people for half of what their property's worth in the case of land. And a very, very predictable number are going to sign the offer and send it back to you. Mm-hmm. That's step two.
And you're strategic about it. Can I just back up and say it's not just you're not just getting a really good, so you know you've got a great data source. You're actually manipulating it, scrubbing it down to the real specific, just what you want, even, you know. So I like people to know up front, it's not going to be a 5-minute job. It's going to be a couple days that you're going to spend on this because you want to do it right.
That's a great point. This doesn't happen in a weekend.
No.
We make it. I just talked to someone on a consulting call, and they said, you guys make this sound really easy.
It's true.
You know what? That's kind of the point up front, to get everybody motivated
right.
and interested. I mean, if we sat here, and like Ferris Bueller's history teacher, mm-hmm. and told you the reality, all the tiny little things that go on every day, you'd never get out of the starting blocks ever.
But that's with every business.
I know. If you own a laundromat, it's going to happen.
Oh my gosh, it's worse.
Sure.
I'm sure.
You bring up a great point.
Thank you.
You have to do this right. I think it goes without saying, this three-step process, you have to execute it correctly and be prepared for what's going to happen. The good news is that we have a huge community of people that do this every day. Jill and I have created. Just go ask
help.
Them.
We'll help.
Go right on to the Land Academy community. It's all free. Click on there and ask them.
All right.
And say, I would ask them if I were listening to this, well, what's the mailer look like that you guys send out? Because I've never done this before. And they will point you to the right direction.
Yeah.
Jill will.
Sure. It's there. It's free. You can find it.
It's in our network of family of companies, and it's really easy, free to download.
Mm-hmm.
That brings us to step three. And this is incredibly important. This is what the takeaway. If you have been doing this and you're like, get on with it, Steve. Please just tell us something we don't know. Well, here's something you probably don't know. Step three is execute the sale of the property, or plan to execute the sale of the property before step one.
Whoa, wait a minute.
That's where everybody gets hung up.
Is that legal?
Nothing here
is
illegal.
Wait, I thought you just said we're not rule breakers.
There's no breaking
rules. What
are
you talking about? I'm just being the devil's advocate. I have to do that.
You have to start planning to sell the property that you're going to buy long before you even plan to buy it. So that all through this process, one of the top questions I get are, how should I know that I should buy this property? Should I buy this property?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the answer to that question is long before you ever even started to choose a market. You have to execute number one and two. Based on the fact that you are going to immediately resell the property. And the only way that I know of to do that is to know who you're going to sell it to.
Mm-hmm.
Or know that the price is so good, it is so grossly undervalued based on sales comparables and active for sale property and days on market and a bunch of other statistics that we look at. That's how you know you're going to sell it. Or better yet, you just know who you're going to sell it to immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So number three is key. Execute the sale of the property before, and plan for the execution of the sale of the property long before step one.
You know, you're right. I mean, when you think about it, people don't, it seems like, it does seem like a Captain Obvious moment. I have to say it out loud, but it's like, you know, imagine if you knew who wanted that. You know, someone says, boy, I would pay anything to have a property like this. If I could have 10 acres in this area, with access and any view, I don't care, whatever it is, you know, I'll pay $50,000 for it. Ding, go get it. It's that kind of a thing. It sounds like a no-brainer.
Send a bunch of offers out.
So yeah. Like, all right. And then I'm not saying you need to go find those people. You know, you don't need to have 10 of those in your back pocket. It sure helps, though. But that's what you're kind of looking for. You can kind of tell what people want.
Right.
You know what people want. You should be, when you're looking at for sale property all over the internet, you'll know right away when you go, oh, look at this area. Why are there so few and they go so fast? Maybe that's something I should be looking at. You know what I mean? You can watch them.
Right.
And that's just spending a little time and watching the market.
Getting to know the market, right?
Yeah.
That's step one. Like, identify and research a market that you should be doing this in.
Uh-huh.
That said, I think that I have yet to see a market where this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. The variable is pricing. So, like the Tennessee reference, that for houses in Tennessee, you're going to send out probably offers out between $5,000 and $10,000, maybe 20 or 30.
Right.
For apartment buildings in lower Manhattan, it's going to be closer to $2,000 a square foot, right? Because you know you can sell it for $4,000. So this concept works with everything, and the data sets that we are licensed to provide all the data.
Same.
100% coverage, mm-hmm. or so I'm told, from our providers of all property types in the country. Mm-hmm. Nothing's 100%. Let's just say it's 98 plus.
Right.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes listening to the Land Academy show. Join us tomorrow for another interesting episode where we talk about when to use the MLS, the multiple listing service, for immediate resale of the property we just talked about buying.
Oh, I'm intrigued. And we answer your questions, should you have one. Post it on our online community. If you go to landacademy.com, you will find it. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. It's fun to talk about the basic stuff.
I know. You know, Les, I was telling you a little while ago, some of the books that I'm reading, you know, I'm sure I'm not alone in my book reading endeavor. I read a lot, man. So I'm always, that's my thing.
What are you reading right now?
So right now, I am reading a book about Scrum. And being a scrum master, which does not mean I'm learning to play rugby, but it's about scrum and managing a team, an IT team, and then how it applies to things other than IT, because that's why I'm reading it. Well, I started it for IT because I'm managing an IT team, but I'm looking at this to do other things.
Like a general contractor has subcontractors.
Right. Exactly.
The general contractor's hoarse from yelling it.
Right.
He has to wash his mouth out with soap every 10 minutes.
And you know, as I'm reading this book, a lot of it is, it's like, duh. But you know what? Apparently, we all need to be reminded. You know, you might want to check in halfway through the project or very early on in the project to make sure you're going down the right path.
So much of this is Captain Obvious stuff. It all comes down to executing a viable plan and sticking to it.
Mm-hmm. Like my team, we have a regular Wednesday check-in. That's big picture stuff. Every single Wednesday, everybody that reports to me, we have a 30 to 45 minute call where it's, you know, door closed, you know, kind of thing, where we're going over a list of projects. Where do you stand? How are you on your goals? What do you need from me? Timeline. And it seems like a no-brainer, but you got to check in. And then there's constant, sometimes daily check-ins. And it's a lot of work, but you got to do it.
Yeah. And if you choose that role in life, I mean, there's certain personality types that really shine at being like a general contractor.
Yeah, it's true.
They love it.
It is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. Thank you, Jeff.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. That's what I'm reading all about, Scrum. Oh.
I mean, I guess so. That's like a general
contractor. Rugby way is more fun. What?
An IT specific term for a general contractor.
Yeah.
Does it apply to anything else, like office manager?
Yeah. It could apply to everything. So it started.
So is that the role for the rugby position too? Kind of like a linebacker?
A scrum is like, I think, the huddle in rugby. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what
I
it is.
I kind of put you on the spot, sorry.
I know more about the about IT that. Version, not the rugby version, but now I'll look it up. Thanks, Jack.
No, someone will tell us.
But thanks, Jack. Thanks,
like
Stephen. What's
emails.
Your name again?
My name is Stephen Jack Butella.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. If you're loving this, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening while you're at it. Please rate us there. We are Stephen Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.